This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Ramadan, the month of the Quran al-Kareem, the month of the Nuzul of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Unzila fihi al-Quran hudan lin-nas," so that it will be a means of guidance for the people. And therefore, we need to give more time to the Quran, especially in this month. And of course, like for everything else, the idea is not only to give time to the Quran in this month, for this month, but to give more time to the Quran in our lives itself. Now, one of the ways in which this is facilitated for us, alhamdulillah, thanks to this deen of ours, is through the Taraweeh prayers, which is really Qiyamul Layl, which is the standing in the night, which is Tahajjud, the form of it, that the form it takes in Ramadan is in this form, which is Qiyamul Layl, which is Taraweeh. So therefore, it's very important for us to enjoy that Taraweeh and to pray Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, listen to the Quran, and to, inshallah, enjoy that. Like I mentioned the other day, the rewards of it are enormous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a reward for every letter of the Quran that we listen to in Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, inshallah. And then the additional rewards for listening to that in a state of Qiyam, through, which means in a state of Salah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to, we ask Allah to give us all this, and we ask Allah for this, inshallah. Now, one of the things that happens, and I've seen this, I'm talking from my experience in Hyderabad, and I know this is true in India, I know it's true in Bangladesh, and I think it's also probably true in Pakistan, and probably in Indonesia and various places, which is to try to finish the Quran as quickly as possible. Now, in Hyderabad, may Allah forgive us, we have masajid which complete the Quran in 10 days. So they are reading 3 juz a day. They complete in 10 days. There are other masajid who complete it in 6 days. So they are reading 5 juz a day. They complete the Quran in 6 days. There are masajid who complete the Quran in 3 days. They read 10 juz a day and they finish in 3 days. And may Allah forgive us, there are some places where they do what is called a shabina. And a shabina is they read the entire Quran, 30 juz in one day, in one night. Now do the sums. If you start, even if you pray Isha at the earliest time, right? So you've got, say, you pray Isha, say, around 8 o'clock or probably close to 9 o'clock. But anyway, take 8 o'clock. And then you have Suhoor or, say, Salatul Fajr, which comes in at, say, 5 a.m. So 8 to 12 is 4 hours, and then from 12 to 5 is 5 hours. So you've got 9 hours. In 9 hours, you're completing 30 juz of Quran. Now see what speed you're reading at. Because it's not just the juz of the Quran. In Taraweeh, normally as I was mentioning to you, people read 1 juz per night. So 1 juz in 20 rakat. But apart from that juz, you have 20 Surat al-Fatiha. You have 4 rakat of surat of Isha before that, so that you got another 4 Surat al-Fatiha plus the recitation in the first two rakats of Salatul Isha. And then you have the 3 rakat of Witr, so another 3 Fatiha and the surahs. So one side of it, alhamdulillah, this is a way of getting enormous reward for us. Second side of it is the opposite side, which is that when you are praying like this, with this enormous speed, there are two very major problems. The first thing is that to read the Quran deliberately without paying attention to the rules of Tajweed is haram. It is a sin, and may Allah forgive us. If Allah chooses, Allah can punish us for this. It is as serious as that. To deliberately, to choose to do that. One is somebody who does not know Tajweed, who's not studied Tajweed. He is reading it, she's reading it. Alhamdulillah, there is forgiveness for them, inshallah. not only is there forgiveness for them, but for their shauq, for their desire to read Quran, inshallah, Allah will reward them. That does not mean don't learn tajweed. Tajweed is absolutely critically important because that is the method of reading the Quran. So in principle, if somebody says, I am reading Quran with tajweed, the real question to ask is, what other way is there? Is there some other way of reading the Quran? The way of reading the Quran is called tajweed. So therefore, tajweed is critical to learn. But somebody who does not know, he or she is still reciting, inshallah, no sin on them. They should continue to recite. They should also make the effort to learn tajweed. But for somebody who knows tajweed, who studied tajweed, and who deliberately reads fast to please their bosses, to please their own nafs, to please their own desires, because they are, whatever the reason, this is haram. And this is punishable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us for punishment. To force somebody else to read fast, just because you are paying them a salary, just because you are, and this is what happens in many masajid, the authorities of the masjid, the management of the masjid, the trustees or the board members of the masjid, they think that because they have, you know, they have hired the imam, they have hired the qari, usually they get qura or hafiz so fast for tarawih. Just because you're paying them a salary, you think that you have the authority and the right to force them to read fast and so on and so forth. Please understand that this is a crime, this is a sin on your head. And Allah will punish you for it if you do that. Because you are forcing that person to disregard the rules of the recitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. And just because you have the authority, inna illahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, fear Allah. I say fear Allah. Fear the day when you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person is doing wrong, listening to you, but at least that person has an excuse. The person can say, Ya Allah, I was a poor man, I needed the money. These people have no appreciation for your kalam. They forced me, so I had to read fast. But what is your excuse? What is your excuse? How did you force and why did you force that person? Right? So please understand this. If anyone who understands the kalam of Allah will never read fast, because he's understanding what he's reading. Only people who can read fast is people who do not understand, so it doesn't make any difference to them. They read whatever comes. My brothers and sisters, please, do not play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the kitab of Allah. And that also in the month of Ramadan, the month in which the kalam of Allah was revealed. Right? Final point is just think about how ugly and how miserable this seems in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for his slave to recite Quran. And when the slave recites Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns towards that slave with tawajjah, with concentration. Allah is listening. It's like a favorite song coming on, on the radio. So you say, hold on, everybody keep quiet. I want to listen to the song. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays attention like that to the qari, to the person who is reciting Quran. Right? And inshallah, may Allah make us among them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah also draws the attention of those around him. Who are the people around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are the major, the big angels. Allah draws their attention and says, here is my slave. Here is this person, this man or woman who is reading my kalam. Listen to them. Now, in that situation, think about that situation. They say, here is a person who is butchering the Quran. Here is a person who is making khima of the Quran, right? In their recitation. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to say? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to say when he is listening to this person doing this to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I still remember a friend of ours. She was a classical singer, classical Hindustani singer. Now we have in India, she passed away. One of the greatest Hindustani classical singers, her name was Begum Akhtar. So this person, the friend of ours, Auntie Chandra, her name was Auntie Chandra. So she said that when she was a little girl, she said maybe I was 8 years old, 9 years old. My ustad, my classical singing teacher, said to me, I'm going to take you to meet Begum Akhtar. Now this little girl who's 7, 8 years old is going to meet this big name, right? It's like a big sheikh For example, if somebody says, I want to take you to meet, and then, you know, think of the name of the biggest reciter of the Quran that you know, Abdullah bin Matrood, for example, or something. They say, I want to. Now, imagine that, right? So you have this, if you have the love for the Kalam of Allah, then you're so excited, you're so almost fearful. So this little girl, she said, I went there. My ustad introduced me to her, to Begum Akhtar. And she says, she loves your singing. And then he also said, she also sings some of the things that you sing. She also sings those. And then Chandra says, Begum Akhtar said to me, Acha beta, hame kuch sunao. Hamara kalam sunao. So Begum Akhtar says to him, to her, okay, my little daughter, sing something for me. Now, what Auntie Chandra said to me till today, believe me, it takes the earth away from my feet. Auntie Chandra says, main baithi aur main soch rahi hu ki Begum Akhtar ka kalam Begum Akhtar ko sunao. Main soch rahi hu Begum Akhtar ka kalam Begum Akhtar ko sunao. She says, I am sitting there, I am thinking, Begum Akhtar wants me to recite her song, her kalam, her poetry to her. How can I recite her kalam to her? Now this is Allah ka kalam, Allah ko suna rahe bhai. Think about this in Taraweeh. You are reciting the kalam of Allah to Allah. You are reciting the kalam of Allah and Allah is listening. Now, think about how do you want that to be? Do you want to do your best that the kalam of Allah is recited in the most beautiful way so that Allah can listen to it and Allah is pleased? Do you want to be the person who is facilitating that to happen? Right? So I am not reciting, but I am making sure that the person reciting has all the facility. There's nothing stopping that person from reciting beautifully by reciting well. I'm not pressurizing the person, not telling him hurry up and so on, nothing. I am letting them do their job in the best possible way. Do you want to be that? Or do you want to be the one who forced the person who could have recited beautifully not to recite beautifully because of the pressure you put on them? And that person was a poor person. They needed the money that you were supposed to pay them. And so they accepted your pressure. And they recited the kalam of Allah in a way that was not in keeping with the grace and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His kalam. Now, my brothers and sisters, make this choice because you are making this choice through your behavior and you are being watched by the malaika and your account is being written in. Make sure what you want to put in that account because one day you will stand before Allah and this account will be read out to you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us not to fall into the traps of shaitan and not to fall into the traps of our own nafs because shaitan is chained up. So when we are doing all this stuff, guess who is the one who is acting? Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.